You are listening to Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.
Bueno, bueno, how are you guys today? Good, good, good. I want to share just a little bit. Pastor Andrew had a full weekend. He led a part of a conference in Ventura. And so he had asked me to do this message about a week and a half ago, which is not the normal amount of time. Normally it's a little bit longer, but he saw his schedule filling up, so I'm kind of a fill-in. And so sometimes what he'll do is he'll say, hey, will you think of something to teach on? And so I get to kind of pick. And so as I was praying, I felt like the Lord was calling me to teach on a different thing. And then Andrew's like, actually, I want you to teach on this. Praise the Lord, because what he gave me to preach on is way easier than what the Lord gave me to preach on. But throughout the week, I have not been able to shake the request of the Lord when I first went to him and prayed. And so I do want to kind of give you a little bit of that. When I first prayed, I believe that the Lord wanted me to preach on healing our sexuality, which is not the business. Like, I don't want to come up here and do that. That's really scary and really invasive, and that's real personal, right? Like, you don't get to talk. And but I believe that that's really what the Lord put on my heart. So I do. And then I woke up this morning, and I was like, pray for it. Or I felt like the Lord was telling me to pray about it. And so when I started to think about what the enemy has done in our culture and in our church, not even just Koinonia specifically, but in the Big C church worldwide, and how he is capturing leaders and he is capturing young adults and he is capturing people, snatching them straight from heaven because of our sexuality. And I believe that the enemy has had some many victories, and we need to be very, very strategic and submissive in the area of our sexuality. And if we don't stay healthy there, if we don't stay healed there, the enemy will stay having a foothold. He will stay having a stronghold. He will stay seated in this auditorium if he's seated in your sexuality. And so I want to pray about it, because I know that if you are harmed as a child sexually, the enemy thinks he's won, because that brokenness is hard to heal. And so I want to pray for a couple different people. If you feel like you carry a scar because you were molested, because you were harmed, because you were, because there was abuse, if you feel like you're carrying a scar that has knotted you up a little bit, we're going to pray for that today. And if you feel like you have started some habits or some beliefs about how you're to behave there, that you now, and when you read scripture or you're with people in the church and you realize, oh, that's a little backwards, that's a little dysfunctional, and maybe you have some addictions to pornography, or you have wandering eyes, or you have a taste for things that are corrupt in that area, the Lord wants to heal you of that. He doesn't want you to be weighted down by things that are spoken to you by the liar about how your eyes are supposed to work and how your hands are. You know, he's talking to you about it even right now, and he's saying that you get to be free. It does not have to be your life. It doesn't have to be your marriage. Your marriage doesn't have to be dictated by that dysfunction. Amen? And so I believe that there are some people here. I even got this picture of like a knot, just things twisted up like a knot. And it started because of dysfunction. It started because of abuse. And now you're knotted up inside and you don't feel free. And I believe the Lord wants to set some people free today. Amen. Amen. And so we're just going to spend the first few minutes, and we're just going to pray. We're going to pray for healing. We're going to pray for restoration. We're going to pray that the Lord would untangle some things and allow you to rest and allow you to let go, allow you to be set free from some things. And so if that's you, we're going to bow our heads, close our eyes. You guys all bow your heads, close your eyes right now. There is no shame in this place, because shame is of the liar. We are a people who are set free, and we repent. We bring our stuff before the Lord. And so if that is you today, I do want you to raise your hand. Maybe you're struggling. You have a struggle because of a scar, but maybe you're even struggling with some same-sex attraction. If you're struggling with some attractions that you know that is not of the Lord, would you raise your hand? hand. Maybe you have struggled with some infidelity in your marriage. Would you raise your hand? Maybe you've struggled because you just have an addiction to pornography or romance novels. Let's redeem it. Amen. And so if you're struggling in your sexuality and you need a healing there, would you raise your hand? Would you be so bold and let me pray over you? Yes, my God. Would you wave over this place with your power and your authority into the hearts and minds and secret places of those who have their hands up? My God, I pray for freedom right now. I pray that you would set us free, that we would be a people who are not anchored or dictated by our sexual sin, my God, but that we would be set free because we are children of the Son of God. We are men and women who rise above. We live in righteousness. We can repent of the things that the enemy has tried to distort in our minds. And I pray for freedom in minds right now. I pray that we would not see ourselves based on our sexuality, but we would see ourselves based on our identity in Christ, my Lord. I pray right now for a broken relationship. Broken relationships because of past trauma. My Lord, would you be a God who heals past trauma? My God, I pray against fear. I pray against the consistent twisting of the enemy who's going to heal, he has no right to continue to twist our sexuality. We can be free. We can be free, my Lord. I pray, God, and even how we parent and how we relate as friends, as spouses, that I would have nothing to do with that brokenness. Would you set us free, my God? Help us to trust that we are free. We're free. You're operating right now. You're healing us right now. You're like a balm. You're like a soothing balm over our patched, dry soul. Would you wash over us, Lord, and restore that which the enemy has worked on? In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Let's give it up for the Lord because he can do all things. Yeah, man, we serve a God who can do anything, and nothing is outside of his authority. Nothing's outside of his interest with you. He is fully interested in you. He thinks about your time. He thinks about your heart. He thinks about your entertainment. Everything about you is within his scope. There's nothing left out because he loves you so fully. He loves you so fully. And so today, as we talk about the healer, we're going to talk about how the Lord is a healer of even our doubts. Even our doubts. Because I think that even in that time of ministry, in that time of kind of operating in a way, there's some people in the room who's just like, I don't know, she's crazy. That's not about me. Like, I'm not about that. That's too much. That's too invasive. Like, we can reason our way out of faith, probably because of past hurts or past, we get this pile of pain that some of us stand on, and we can't trust that things can be good. We can't trust that God's operating because he didn't operate in a way that I wanted him to back in the day. But I think that what you believe matters. What you believe matters. It changes how you live, okay? I believe God is good. Even when everything else is nasty, God is good. I believe God is just, even as I watch injustices unfold. God is just. I believe that God is coming again. And so I live in anticipation and hope of the return of the King, anticipating that it could be now. You know what I mean? Like, I live that way. It could be this moment. And so with that anticipation, I stay with my boots are tied, ready to go because the King may come today. That's a belief that changes how you live. I believe that God is all powerful. I believe that he hears and is engaged with my prayers. That changes how I pray. I don't pray out of obedience like the Lord said to pray, so I do it. I pray out of a reality that when I pray, the Lord is involved and he says, what'd you pray for? Okay, let me see what I got. You know, let me see. Like he responds. There is a partnership. I don't control God, but man, God listens to my prayers. There is something beautiful there. There's a mystery in that relationship, the tension of our partnership and his sovereignty. But I do believe that when I pray, mighty things can happen. So I pray according to that belief. Do you guys pray that way? I believe that he is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. He is our healer. And so because I live with those beliefs, it changes my stance. Okay, if I were to take a giant medicine ball and throw it at you, what would you do? You would catch it, right? Or throw it back. Yeah, we're going to be playing catch right now. You would catch it because it's a giant medicine ball. It just bounces. But if I were to say this medicine ball is full of concrete, and then I were to throw it at you, what would you do? You would get out of the way. Because you believe that it's full of concrete, and you operate according to that belief. My husband and I, we got to do a little vacation. It was spring break a little bit ago, and we got to do a couple days in Hawaii, which was amazing. Very, very cool. And so as we went, I was planning all the different excursions we were going to do, making some plans. Give it to the Lord as a miracle. My daughter, her request for an excursion was to go and see the sea turtles. She wanted to swim with the sea turtles. And I was like, let's go, baby girl. So that was on our list. I had found a couple of venues where we could do that. But the first day, they were just floating out in the water. The school of sea turtles just swam right underneath us and saved me hundreds of dollars. So I was so stoked. I was like, look at baby girl, look at the sea turtles. You know, I was like, look. You know, like, don't miss it. This is the moment, you know, making sure, saving his money. But for myself, the thing that I wanted to do, I wanted to go surfing. Okay, so like literally, I was like, let's go to Hawaii and go surfing. Like that was how it was kind of, anybody who asked me, what are you guys doing? I'm like, we're going to Hawaii so we can go surfing. I was really stoked about it. But because I have an issue with commitment, I didn't pre-plan anything. So every day I was like, do we want to go surfing today? I was like, not really, blah, blah, blah. So it was the very last day. And it was the very last hour. It was like 4 p.m. And I was like, well, are we going surfing or not? And it was like the last minute. So we just went and grabbed surfboards. And because it was the last minute, we opted out of a lesson. And my husband, who he's in the room this time, so I can't say nearly as many things as I said first service. He is really capable. He's very strong and beautiful and wonderful, but he's really strong, really capable. And he just said, we don't need a lesson. We got this. And I said, yeah. So he's got a surfboard and I'm dragging my surfboard and I'm like, we don't need a lesson, you know? And so we get into the water and he immediately with his giant arms just starts paddling out to the biggest waves way far away from me. And then I'm left there with like no clue what to do. And now I'm angry. Anybody fight on vacation? Oh, we do. And so he's out there, and I'm watching him, like, celebrating. Oh, yay, he's catching waves, just surfing on the waves. Immediately, he learned how to surf on his own. And so I'm just like, well, I got no skills. I have T-Rex arms and a whole lot of lack of confidence. And so I just start using what I do have, an abundance of personality. And I start paddling over to the surfers next to me, and I was like, hey, aloha, you know? And then they're just like, what's up, brah, you know, and doing all these things. And so they are giving lessons to other people. So I'm just being an active listener. And so she's like, oh, you know, you got to pop up faster. And I was like, okay, pop up faster. You know, they're not talking to me. I'm just gleaning. And then because it's obvious, I'm just like literally leaning over. And she's like, and so the guy starts talking to me. He's like, you're doing good, but I think your board's a little small, so you probably need to sit back. And I was like, okay, sitting back. Just listen to everything he said. And so a couple times I'm like getting real close to getting up, and then I end up falling in, getting up and falling in. So I'm getting a little frustrated. And my anger for my husband is growing as he catches yet another wave. But the guy comes up, his girl that he's training, she catches this wave, and I'm just looking with longing, like, I want to surf. It's what I want, you know. And then I feel like Moana, you know. Anyways, so he comes up, and he's swimming back, and he is like, listen, you're doing good. You just got to believe, brah. You just got to believe. And that's the moment I knew that my surfing days were done. Because I didn't believe. I was like, how does he know I don't believe? How does he know I'm operating in full doubt right now? I have no confidence I can do this. And the thing I was missing was belief. If I could believe like my husband did, he's like, we got this. So he goes out there and he does it. He did it multiple times. I had no faith that I could surf and I never got on the board. And at that point, I actually swim back, and I'm like, score, I'm done. Let me go get, you know, a sip of lemonade and sit with my kids, because my surfing days are done, at least this time until I get a lesson. It will be redone. But let me tell you that a lot of us, we're operating in our Christian calling, the things that God has asked us to do, the things that we're training each other how to do without belief that we can, that we need to, that we're called, that we're able, that God is able. We're operating with a certain dose of doubt that is changing how we operate. It's changing how we're posturing ourselves. It's changing how we're orienting our days. Our doubt has changed our times table. I don't believe prayer works, so I don't make time for it. Okay? When you believe that your prayers matter, you make time for it. Because I believe that being the primary faith trainer of my kids is real. I believe that that's my job. And so I cancel stuff on repeat in order to make space for them. That belief changes how I orient my days. I make sure I get to speak to them. I make sure I get to pour into them. I make sure I'm praying for them. I lay hands on them when they're sick. I anoint them with oil whenever I need to. Like, those are things, like, my belief changes how I live as a parent. Our beliefs change how we live as a Christian. And so what I know is that most of us, if not all, struggle with some unbelief. We all struggle with some unbelief. There are certain aspects of my faith walk that I got. I understand. I believe. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. And there are others where I'm like, yeah, that's cool for you. I'm not so sure. It's a little bit of, it's a place of insecurity in my faith. And I believe that the Lord wants to help us to be healed there. Because some of our doubt can be restored by the Father himself. Okay? And then some of it is a part of a process of working out our unbelief. Okay? So I'm going to teach about both. We're going to open up to Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Can you guys say, gotta believe? Amen. And then add bruh. Yeah. He also said, go where the energy is, bruh. Like, he told me so many weird things, and now I can't get it out of my head, but I'm living off the surface words. Mark 9, I'm going to skip, actually, and I'm going to go straight to verse 22. So there is this man, he comes to Jesus because his son was possessed by a demon. And this demon not only wrecked his son's behavior, was actually trying to kill him on repeat. It was throwing him into the fire, throwing him into the water, trying to murder his son. And so he goes before Jesus because he's at a loss of what to do. And it says in verse 22, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, please take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. That's where we are at today. I believe in so many things, but I have to ask the Lord, would you help me overcome the doubts I have? Would you help me overcome the insecurities I have? Would you help me overcome my need for knowledge? Would you help me overcome my need for understanding? How many guys struggle with the need for understanding? If I don't understand it, I don't really buy it. I feel that way so often. Sometimes people will tell me what they did. I'm like, I don't understand what you did. I'm judging you now because I have a lack of understanding of your motivation, and now I can't understand why you did that. Lack of understanding, lack of knowledge sometimes is the source of my doubt. It's the source of my doubt. And so I'm constantly praying, I do believe. I trust you, Lord. Would you help me to trust you more? I love you, Lord. Would you help me to love you more? I adore you, Lord. Would you help me to serve you more? You can be in that middle spot. And I believe that most of us are there. And I believe that most of us have some work to do to get us into a place of more belief in Jesus. There's work to do. Okay, a true believer, and that's what we're aiming for. We want to be true believers. We join the company of saints in living a life of believing in the invisible. And that's hard. Believing in things we literally cannot see. That's why it is not light work to be a man and woman of faith. Because we're actually trusting in things we can't see. The invisible things. Believing in heaven. Believing in hell. Believing that the evil one is on the prowl. Believing that God has stationed his angels around you. Those are things that are invisible. And as people of faith, we join a company of people who are believing in the invisible right alongside of us. We believe in the invisible. We believe in the unexplainable. Do you understand all the things that happen? No. I literally do not. I do not understand all of the ways of the Lord. I do not understand all of the motivations. I don't understand why he put certain people in this situation and other people in those. I don't understand it all. And then let's add miracles. I don't understand all of the ways that God works above and through and beyond science. I don't understand it all. It is unexplainable. How incredible that we serve a God who can work in an unexplainable way. And then last but not least, we are living a life where we believe in doing the impossible. Even those prayers that we prayed earlier, we are praying against inflation. Inflation's a big word. When you pray, did you believe that we can change it? Can we tick the needle? Can we tick the needle? We're praying against crime on a regular basis, specifically organized crime. I'm always kind of praying against those who would release other people to do their crime for them, that organization of crime. I'm praying for it all the time. That's a big thing. Praying against gang activity. I pray about it all the time. That's way bigger than me. It's way bigger than I am. But God operates in the impossible. And if I believe that, I pray different. If I believe that, I pray consistently. Okay? And so we're trying to increase our belief so that our behavior changes according to our belief, not our circumstance. If I only behaved according to my circumstance, I would most likely join in on the evil because it's like we're outnumbered. The wave of evil is greater than the wave of righteousness right now. Okay? And so if I was only watching and trying to my faith was dictated only by what I saw, I wouldn't be out. But I am growing a faith and growing a belief that is against the odds, that is against the culture, that is against the popular, that is against the known. Okay, so we're working on a faith that is actually pushing back against the work of the enemy. And that's hard. If you feel like it's hard, it is. If somebody told you it should be easy, they were being nice or something. I don't know, but it's not easy. It's hard work. And we need the Lord's help. I need the Lord's help to be healed of my doubt. Okay? So I'm going to give you guys a definition to believe. There's a Greek word that's used in scripture when it comes to belief, and it says to be persuaded into a place of conviction, confidence, firm belief, and firm hold. Okay, I'm going to read it one more time. To be persuaded into a place of conviction, confidence, firm belief, and firm hold. I think that sometimes we have touched faith, right? Or maybe we're even pinching it with our fingers. Like, I got it, I got it, I got it. I'm understanding. But then as soon as the world gets crazy, we have to let it go because we don't have a firm grip on it, right? Have you ever watched those movies where somebody's falling off a cliff and they just have something by like a single thread? Like some of us are holding on in faith by a single thread. And I just want to encourage you, keep holding on. Do not let go. Do not let go and do not discourage your own self by the lightness of your grip. But tell yourself, I can be a person who's got a firm hold on my faith. I can be a person who is confident and unwavering in my faith, even if today it feels so light. Even if today it feels a little light, you can get to a place where you have a firmer grip than you currently do. You can grow in your faith, okay? If you're here right now and you feel like you got like level 2 faith and like, man, Pastor Andrew's got like a level 100, guess what? Level 2 faith, you're still getting to heaven, amen? Level 2 faith, level 1 faith, you're still getting to heaven. You're still in the family. God has angels celebrating your salvation and you get to grow. You get to grow. So don't be discouraged if you're feeling like you're barely hanging on from minute to minute. You're not quite sure. Like, well, what does God think about this? And you're just kind of wavering there. Hold on. Don't let go. Okay? The Greek adjective. Okay, so we just did kind of the noun version. But the adjective, the action, the way it's described, the way that this word can be described as an action is it's used to describe the act of believing and trusting and moving from the passive knowledge of belief to the action of believing. So this is the shift. As I believe at a level where I can say it with my mouth, but I don't walk it out with my steps. That's the difference. A lot of us, we're attending church because we know we're supposed to and it's good for us. But I'm not even quite sure all the things. Like, what am I even doing here? What does this do? Does it even work? Does this work? I actually prayed with a young lady. She's like, I've been going to church for 3 months and nothing's changed in my life. It's not working. And I was like, hold on. Like, she was at that place where she's believing. It should be doing something. This should be doing something. But she hadn't gotten to a place where her faith was starting to change her actions. Man, there's such a difference. There's such a difference. And so when your belief grows to the point where your actions are different, that's what we're aiming for. So let me show you this graphic. So at this point, most of us are in this first category of I believe. I believe. And actually, let me just say, if you're a non-Christian, you're in here and you're like, I don't really believe. Let me just say you're in good company. We want you here. Okay, you're not uninvited from the message or the things that we do, but we are actually trying to convince you. Like, let there be no secrets. We believe that your soul belongs in heaven. We believe that your spirit should be alive and not dead. And we believe that if you stick around long enough and you listen to the testimonies of the saints, we'll convince you. Okay, that's what we're doing here. Let there be no secrets. We're not just trying to have a good time and eat lots of salad. Like, we are here for the kingdom of God. Amen. Okay, that's just the thing. So if you're not on the I believe statement, maybe by the end of the service, you'll be there. But most of us, we're like, I believe. Okay, I believe. And then we're in this journey of persuasion. We're currently there in this journey of persuasion where I am working out my doubts. I'm just taking them straight from my mind, my soul, my experiences, and I'm working them out. Because as we grow up, as we experience life, as we experience the church, as we experience people and the church and this world give us lots of reasons to doubt. Okay, it is like being delivered to me on repeat Amazon packages every day. Okay, it's like they're always coming. I'm always like, oh, what's this? Another reason to doubt. It's another reason. It's another reason to have trust issues. It's another reason to not know if God's available to me. It's another reason my prayer didn't come true. It's another reason. This is enough. My kids are doing this. My husband did that. My sleep is going that way. My diagnosis is there. My finances are there. Like, we get deliveries of reasons to doubt every day. And so we are in this process of this journey of persuasion, consistently working out, why do we believe? What do we believe? And what do I do because of it? To the point where we should be, at the end, right, totally convinced. Totally convinced. That's what I'm aiming for. I want to be so convinced in the glory of God that as persecution rises, my faith rises. Okay? I do know that if you watch the history of the church, as persecution rises, because they're actually believing in Jesus and not treats, their faith rises. Okay, and so as this world starts to hone its evil eye on the church and starts to pull people out, as we get the pressures of this world to, submit our ways to them, it should elevate our faith. I want to be more convinced as the persecution comes. Okay, as it gets harder, my faith should get stronger. Because believing is at the heart of Christianity. There's this quote I want to read to you, that God is too kind to do anything cruel. He's too kind. That's a thing you got to believe. He's too wise to make a mistake. He hasn't made mistakes. That's a thing I got to tell myself. I'm like, that was not a mess up. The Lord didn't be like, oops, sorry, let me try this now. He's not doing that. He's not making mistakes. He's far too wise. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I think that's a place of some doubt for some of us. And here's the thing. He's too deep to explain himself all the time. He is too deep, praise the Lord. My God is too smart. I am too dumb, okay? If the wisdom of the Lord was like an ocean, my capacity is a soda can, okay? I can't understand it all. And praise the Lord, I don't want to worship a God that I can understand because he's that small. I don't want to worship a God that's that small, okay? Our God is too wise. And so there was a season when my kids, they were constantly asking for dessert before dinner, and I would tell them no. And then one time my daughter said, don't you love us? And I was like, yes, baby girl. And that's why the answer is no. Did she fully understand? No. But I'm her mom. I'm taking care of her. And I know she doesn't need everything that she's asking for. I know that. I actually treat her according to my wisdom, not hers. I treat her according to what I have been given, my resources, not hers. Sometimes we go to the Lord and we only understand our wisdom as top wisdom. If you were to do it the way I would want it, God, would you do it? You know, like, we're kind of setting him up to do things our way. But my God's too wise. My God's too wise. And so he's too wise to make a mistake. He's too deep to explain himself. So sometimes I get no as the answer. What does that do to your faith? Sometimes no as the answer, it makes us, it feels like my daughter did. Do you even love us? Do you even love us? Let me tell you a quick story. A couple weeks ago, I shared a testimony of how a woman was healed of endometriosis. This is pain in your stomach, pain in your abdomen. She came up after many years or a long season. She was about to have surgery. I shared, and Pastor Chad and I prayed for her, all these things. She was healed. So I shared that story. It was an amazing celebration moment, but there was a young woman in the congregation who was struggling with endometriosis. When she heard the testimony, she says, let me just read. She sent me this message. She said, she's been reading in the Word about the story with the woman who was bleeding and touched Jesus' garment and was healed. Ever since then, she's been digging deeper into her faith. My relationship with God and praying for myself and healing. A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned the woman with endometriosis and being healed. And me and my mom, we looked at each other and cried. Last Saturday, I was in the walk to work, and I curled up in a ball with endometriosis pain so bad I couldn't move. I went to church the next day. I got prayer for healing from Sylvia and Stacy, and they walked out of church pain-free. So this is now two healings from endometriosis. And the second one came because she heard that it was possible. She heard a story that lined up with her story. And she's like, somebody got healed of endometriosis. I better ask. I better ask, because I guess God's doing that. I guess he's doing that. And so how are you building your faith so that you'll ask? Are you even asking for the things that God has for you, or just assuming that he doesn't want that for you? Have you asked for the healing? Have you asked for the offering? Have you asked for the job? Have you asked for the relationship? Have you asked for these things? Or are you just assuming God's going to figure it out? I'm just going to wait for him to do it. Like, he's actually inviting us to lift our hand up and say, God, I need you. God, would you help me? God, would you intervene in this household? Would you intervene in this school? Would you help my coworker? Would you help my body? The Lord loves it when we raise our hands and ask for his involvement. Okay? Because the Lord hears your prayers, and he is good. He is good. So this young lady, she grew in her belief. So she came to the altar and received her healing. The Lord healed her first through a testimony of unbelief. Healed her first of unbelief through a testimony. What level of unbelief still sits within you, inside of you? Okay, so there's some levels of unbelief I want to go over real quick. We have the unbelieving sinners. Forgive me for calling you a sinner, but you are. The Lord says so, and Scripture does too. So if you're, you know, it's just kind of a harsh phrase. You're like, oh, nasty church calling me a sinner. Like, yep, that's what we do. Before you're with the Lord, you know, before you're with the Lord, before you are saved by grace, before you're covered by the blood, you know, you're an unbelieving sinner. I was. I was an unbelieving sinner, and then I watched the Lord restore. I watched the Lord move. I witnessed his power in a church service, and I raised my hand and said, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. So after I raised my hand, I was no longer an unbelieving sinner, section A. I moved on to being an unbelieving believer. Like, I kind of believe, but I don't always know what this means. Where can it go? What does it do? Okay. So there's some levels of unbelief. Once you kind of get into the household, once you kind of get into the Christian life, you're still going to have some unbelief. And so I just want to speak to the lie that says once you're in, you got to be right immediately. Okay, and so you're hiding because you don't feel right yet. Let me tell you that the Lord is working on you. Just keep showing up. Keep reading your word. Keep praying. The Lord is doing a work in you. Some things take a long time. God is a process God, and he wants to work out inside of your heart, inside of your emotions, inside of your finances. He's going to work it out, and sometimes he takes his time, but just hold on. Don't give up. He is working on you. And let me just tell you, stop hiding. Stop hiding. You probably need to get in a group and tell some people your struggles. Okay, this is the place where we deal with our doubts, not out there. This is the place where we deal with our questions, not out there. This is a place where, and so if you've been in a church where they're like, we don't ask questions, we just believe. No, we ask questions, okay? I got questions. I come and I'm like, Chad, Andrew, what do you think about? Like, I bring my questions. Like, I don't know about this one. This is strange. What do you do in this situation, this leadership moment, this God moment, this Bible moment? There's so many things. I got questions. this is the place to work it out. Work it out here. Don't hide when you're struggling, because that's an invitation to the enemy. He loves it when you hide your struggles. Man, he loves it. So let me just share with you a couple levels of unbelief. You got mental unbelief, okay? Mental unbelief. When you have a wavering doubt influenced by outward circumstances, relying on feelings, emotions, and moods, okay? Because we only rely on what we can see and understand, okay? Let me just tell you, God is so good, and he knows you're there. If that's where you are, he knows you're there, and he's whispering to you according to even your doubt. I believe that the Lord, he understands how I need to hear. He understands when I'm afraid, and he needs to whisper. He understands when I'm being staunch in my stance, and he needs to yell at me. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes the Lord is kind of, he's bringing you along according. So he's aware of your doubt. He's aware that when the world starts shaking, so do you. He's aware of that, and he's going to speak to you because he is good, okay? He is good. So just think about Peter, who was walking on water. He had the faith, I believe. And then he steps out of the boat and it says that he was distracted by the wind and the waves. So you might have come to Jesus and then you're like, well, I don't understand. What are we doing with grace? Like, I don't understand. What are we doing about evil? I don't understand. You know, you start to ask the questions and you can start to see these different things that are happening in the world. Those can be your distractions. But let me just say, hold on. Continue to ask for healing for your doubts and some restoration of some of those answers, okay? There's a lot of answers out there, but there's a lot of mystery too, okay? As people who study the Word of God on repeat, there's a lot of answers. Let me just encourage you. There's a ton of good answers, but there's a ton of mystery. There is a ton of mystery because we serve a God bigger than us. And so I have to be good at holding on to the mystery. I may not ever get to know what this is about till I get to heaven, because I'm a woman of faith. As a woman of faith, I grow comfortable not knowing it all. I don't get to know it all. Let's do emotional unbelief. Emotional unbelief is this religious mental rejection of things not seen, understood, or experienced. It's a habit of negative response, a knowledge faith only. So you know the answer, but man, you're not feeling it. You got no hope. You got no drive. And I think that there's some people in here who's got some emotional unbelief sitting in you, and you can see it in your attitude. You can see it in how you respond to certain things. Well, of course. Yep. The enemy's on, you know, like we just, there's like this negativity towards what's happening in the world that's never actually connected to the hope of the Savior. Emotional unbelief. We are making decisions and saying things based on things we've experienced, negative experiences. Jesus actually experienced this. He went to his hometown to do ministry, and people were like, "Who's this guy? This is Jesus of Nazareth. What's he gonna do?" They've already seen him. They already knew him. They had no hope for the miracles, so no miracles happened. There's very few. And so some of us, you're like, "I've already seen the church do their thing. So I'm just going to do the thing. I'm not, you know, they say it's revival. Okay. You know what I mean? There might be this, like, I've already seen it. I've already done it." And then the third one is a hardened unbelief. Processed, deep-seated unbelief that's experienced failures and disappointments with a wrong response to God. Allowing doubt, questioning, and blaming. And ultimately, this can lead you to rejecting God overall. So if you're allowing your negative experiences be your bedrock and not the hope of Christ, not the reality of his goodness, this unchecked, it leads you to the door. If you're sitting on those piles of disappointment and hurt and not getting healing, not restoration, the soil of your heart gets battered down in a way where nothing is going to grow anymore. And God wants us to be a people of fruit. Okay? So there's a process of cultivating a believing heart I'm going to go through in 2 minutes. Ready? There's a wrong approach, and it's actually kind of almost the opposite of what's in your notes. But there's a wrong approach. A lot of times we go by emotion first. I feel good, so God is good. I feel crummy, so God is absent. this is pretty normal. And actually the world is like highlighting this on repeat. Go with your heart, right? That's the message of the world. But that's the wrong approach. And here's the thing. I'm a feeler. I love feelings. I'm all about emotions. I love it. But it is secondary to the will of the Father, my will and the spirit that God has put inside of me. Okay? I allow my emotions to be an exuberant expression of what's at a deeper level. Okay? And so I put my emotions in check according to the truth of God on a regular basis. Okay? And so emotions are not invaluable. I actually feel like I am a better communicator and preacher because I'm emotional. It's a gift. Okay? Sometimes I make y'all cry. Right? It's good. It's okay to feel. I'm not opposed to it, but it is not truth. Okay? And so if you're starting with, I don't really feel right being in the room, you've started on the wrong step. Okay? So let me just share with you. You got to start first with your spirit. Okay? When you're looking for a way to develop a believing heart, remember your spirit. Remember the part of you that you can't see, but God has said is fully alive. God has said is already sitting in the throne room of heaven. Like there is a reality of eternity operating within my spirit right now. And I have to remember that within my spirit, God drops joy. Within my spirit, God drops faith. Within my spirit, God drops miracles. Like there's that connection to heaven that starts with my spirit, not with my emotions. My spirit is alive, even if I feel dead, and I have felt dead. Okay, I have been depressed. I have been anxious. I have been worried. And I have to remember my spirit is alive in Christ. That's where this starts. That's where I will begin today. My spirit is alive in Christ. I am fully healed. I am fully restored because of the power of the Most High. And then I work on my mind. Then I work on my mind. Because my thoughts be crazy. And I bet you yours are too. And when we submit our mind to the Word of God, regularly feeding our mind the Word of God, He will right the thoughts that are consistently wrong. You will see yourself according to the truth of God. Feed your mind the Word of truth. Feed your mind the Word of God. And you will develop and cultivate a heart of belief. The third one is your will. So this is the thing. People always want to come in church with like, well, I haven't quit smoking yet. I haven't quit. I still got this thing. I'm still getting drunk. You know, that's your will, right? We can't fix our will by just putting our feelings around and saying, I feel like I got, like, man, that comes usually after. Get your spirit alive. Get your mind right and the will follow. All of a sudden, those things will start to become less desirable. Because my mind has shifted. Don't skip. There is an order in the way that the Lord does healing, okay? And then He gets your emotions. He goes after them so that you're not, you know, spouting off, so that you're not just responding to everybody else. All of a sudden, you can be calm in the middle of a storm. But you don't usually start there. You start with being fully alive in Christ, and He starts working on your mind. And He's going to get your will to be fully submitted to Him, and He will restore all of your emotions. Amen. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray real quick. I am going to be quick because I know our classrooms are full today. I want to pray first for those who are not on the spectrum yet. You are off. You are not a believer, and you're saying, maybe I do want to believe. You're not a Christian. You haven't submitted your life to Christ. You're not a believer. Or maybe you used to be a believer. Maybe you were raised in the church. Or maybe you had an experience and you've kind of wandered away. You've stopped attending. You've been far away for a long time. And you know you need to come back. I want to pray for both of those groups. If you want to be a believer today for the first time, or if you want to be a believer today, maybe for the third or fourth or fifth, you're coming back to Jesus. Would you raise your hand? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your, oh, this whole row. I see your hand back there. Yep. I see your hands right there. I see your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray real quick. Father, I just pray, God, that you would restore faith for those who have lost it. And I pray that the spirits that were dead before they walked in this room, that they would come alive right now as these individuals raise their hand in a submission to your will, in a submission to your way, in a submission to knowing and believing that they need you, God. We need you, God, and we believe that you are King, you are Lord of all, and we need your help. This life is going nowhere, and we believe that we need you, not even just for heaven, but for this life today, my God. These individuals are saying yes to you, yes to your involvement, yes to your mercy, God, and yes to your forgiveness, my Lord. I'm so grateful that you forgive sins, you forgive old patterns, you forgive old thoughts, my God, and you welcome us into your family as sons and daughters in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Now I'm going to pray for some folks. Yeah, let's give it up one more time. One more time for those. So now I'm going to pray rather quickly, and then we'll invite people up. But we're going to pray for people who are struggling. You're a believer, but you're struggling with unbelief. You feel like maybe if it's a scale, you're tipped on the unbelief side. You're struggling there. Would you raise your hand? I see. Yep, there's a lot. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. So my God, would you even just now start to stir it up inside of us that you have made us fearfully and wonderfully, that you have made us on purpose, and that we may be grinning and bearing or holding on with every ounce of our will. But my God, I pray, Father, for a supernatural impartation of faith right now, that our spirits would feel more alive than ever before, and that our minds would start to be altered because of who we are in Christ and your words faithfully deposited in our minds, my God. I pray that we would submit our will to you daily and watch how you overcome disease, you overcome sin, you overcome brokenness, my God, as we are building a case for Christ with our own personal lives. I pray that you would move and build us as members of the body of Christ, fully alive, fully in faith. God, I pray that even just an outpouring, a fire of God would fall on your children. I pray that they would be full of the Holy Spirit, that the supernatural would just start to become so natural to them that they would know they get to pray for healing. They get to pray for salvation for their coworkers. They get to bring their children to Christ, God. They are a participant in what you're doing in the house, in the kingdom, my God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we give it up for the Lord?
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. You can join us in person on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. or online at the same times, including Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. Visit our website at kchanford.com. Koinonia Church, where we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all.